Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off with African football. Zambia will play neighbor Zimbabwe in Sunday's CASAFA Cup final at the Royal Bafokeng Stadium near Rustenburg, South Africa. In semifinal results Wednesday, Zambia topped Tanzania 4-2 and Zimbabwe edged Lesotho 4-3. Both games were played at the Moruleng Stadium north of Rustenburg in South Africa's Northwest Province. And let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Zambia's Justin Shanga and Zimbabwe's Knox Mutiswa. Shanga had two goals for the Chipolopolo of Zambia in their semifinal victory, while Mutiswa had a hat trick for the Warriors of Zimbabwe. Both Zambia and Zimbabwe are bidding for a record fifth CASAFA Cup trophy. The annual tournament is organized by the Council of Southern Africa Football Associations. Still in Southern Africa, some sad news out of Malawi. At least eight people, including seven children, died in a stadium stampede ahead of a local football match in the capital, Lilongwe. Police said at least 40 others were injured in the crush, ahead of a friendly between the clubs Nyasa Big Bullets and Silver Strikers. The football game was due to take place to help the country celebrate 53 years of independence from British rule. Elsewhere, World Football's governing body FIFA released its latest set of monthly rankings on Thursday. The Pharaohs of Egypt remain number one in Africa, a position they've held for the past 6 months. The Egyptians are 24th overall, and they're followed by Senegal at 27, DR Congo at 28, Tunisia at 34, Cameroon at 36, and Nigeria at 39. Rounding out the top 10 African teams, according to FIFA, we have Burkina Faso at 44, Algeria at 48, Ghana at 50, and neighbor Ivory Coast at 56. Taking a look at the very top of the FIFA rankings, reigning World Cup champion Germany is number one. The Germans lifted the FIFA Confederations Cup trophy 4 days ago in Russia. Brazil is ranked second, followed by Argentina, Portugal, and Switzerland. The United States is ranked 35th overall. The Americans are the host team for the upcoming CONCACAF Gold Cup tournament, a regional championship competition for teams in North America, Central America, and the Caribbean. The 12-team tournament kicks off Friday night with two matches at Red Bull Arena near New York City. French Guiana will go against Canada, and that will be followed by a game between Honduras and Costa Rica. Red Bull Arena is the home of Major League Soccer's New York Red Bulls Club. 13 other venues across the United States will stage matches during the Gold Cup, with the final scheduled for July 26th at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California. The USA will host Panama Saturday in the southern U.S. city of Nashville, Tennessee, in the opening Gold Cup match for both teams. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Namdi.
And a good evening, Sunny.
Namdi, let's begin with the Battle of Brisbane, a bloody brawl in which Jeff Horn, local favorite born in Brisbane, upset the odds makers and took Manny Pacquiao's WBO welterweight title belt. Controversial decision, Namdi. First, the judges' scorecards, 117 to 111, 115 to 113, and 115 to 113, all in favor of Horn. Your reaction?
I don't have problem with the 115 to 113 for the two judges. The 117 to 111 is where I have the problem, you know. But on the other hand, Sonny, you have to understand, I'm not trying to be on the side of the judges right here. This is 51,000 people on a Sunday afternoon in Brisbane. You're the judge. You've been brought in. You came in on the first-class ticket. You are in a big suite in the hotel. You know, you're fed and all that stuff. You know who's buttered the bread for you. So the fight was a close fight. Manny Pacquiao had the opportunity to end the fight in the ninth round.
I thought he was going to take him out then, Namdi.
The referee was about to stop the fight right there. When you let the man off the hook, the man can come back and bite you, and that's what really happened there. I mean, don't let us sell up Jeff Horn's shot, because he fought. It was an action-packed fight, Sonny. He came to fight, and he didn't back up. He had Manny on the ropes. He had Manny bloodied. What we really need to look at here is the overconfident of the Manny Pacquiao team, because before the fight, they just thought they were just going to go there and pick up Manny and then walk away. They were very overconfident, Sonny.
Namdi, getting back to that ninth round, we have to go back to 2009 for the Pac-Man's last knockout victory. Has he lost his firepower, so to speak?
Oh, Sonny, definitely. In the fight game, it's all about seek and destroy. In that ninth round, if you weren't able to pull the trigger and end that fight right there, that just shows you right there that at the age of 38, it's about time for him to close shop and move on and stay in the Senate. He has no business fighting, because how much did he make for the fight? He made only $10 million. For an ordinary man or ordinary person, it's a big deal. But coming from making $120 million with Floyd Mayweather and making $10 million and bloodied and look all beat up, I mean, come on, for a guy who's a Hall of Famer, I think it's time to look and say, look, maybe it's time to pack it in.
There is a clause for a rematch, Namdi. Do you think a rematch will happen?
Well, it depends on Manny Pacquiao triggering the rematch clause. Because if he triggers the rematch clause, definitely there'll be a rematch. And I bet you one thing, it's not going to be in Brisbane or Australia, because hanky-panky down and under is not going to happen again.
What are some of the likely venues for a rematch?
It's not going to be in Manila, Philippines. Definitely going to be in Las Vegas. You know, and when it happens in Las Vegas, it's going to be sold out and everybody will want to see the fight.
Pacquiao Horn was broadcast on ESPN, the biggest cable television sports network in the USA. What were the views like for Pacquiao Horn?
Oh, Sonny, it was a huge numbers. I mean, we're talking about eyeballs. 4.4 million viewers tuned in. Now, remember that this was no pay-per-view, because fights like this normally end up on pay-per-view and then they get just minor numbers. If they had made the mistake of making it a pay-per-view fight, the numbers wouldn't have been there. And not only that, ESPN did massive promotion for this fight. And the fight coming out on a Saturday night on ESPN, well, a lot of people watched. And not only that, Manny Pacquiao is an elite fighter, pound for pound class, and he comes to fight. So the big name there and the hometown guy fighting made it for a good Saturday night fight. And it was an action-packed fight. Didn't you enjoy the fight, Sonny? It was great. Entertaining.
Yeah, really. I thought it was very entertaining.
Yes.
What surprised me, that Horn was so much taller and he looked so much heavier than Pac-Man. Why is that?
Sonny, he was not scared at all. Manny came in light. Manny's camp. In the fight game, we say you lose the fight in the corner. And when we say you lose the fight in the corner, that means your corner did not prepare you in camp. Your corner was lost during the fight. So that's what we mean by you lose the corner. And then who do you blame? You blame Hall of Fame trainer Freddie Roach for not really preparing his warrior for this fight. So you can blame 51,000 people, blame the referee for not warning Jeff Horn, or blame the judges. But at the end of the evening, you did not pull the trigger.
More than 51,000 fans showed up for the Battle of Brisbane at Suncoast Stadium. Earlier this year, we had 90,000 fans at Wembley Stadium. Namdi, does that speak to the popularity of pro boxing?
Sonny, we're still at it because it's not over. You're yet to mention Floyd Mayweather against McGregor, Sonny. That fight alone is going to generate more than $500 million, Sonny. The fight game is off, bro.
Well, we'll talk about Mayweather-McGregor, Namdi, but 1 week before Mayweather-McGregor, on August 19th in Lincoln, Nebraska, a world junior welterweight unification title fight. Namibia's world junior welterweight champion Julius the Blue Machine Ndongo will take on American Terrence Crawford. How's this one shaping up?
Historic fight, Sonny. This is for the unified junior welterweight title of the world. Two undefeated fighter. Terrence Crawford is 31-0 with 22 knockouts, Sonny. Julius the Blue Machine Ndongo, 22-0, 11 knockouts.
Voice of America. Our Voice of America boxing fans have to remember Julius the Blue Machine Ndongo, the Sunnyside of Sports Fighter of the Year for 2016. Can he win, Namdi, on basically Crawford's home turf in Lincoln, Nebraska?
Sonny, remember, this is the third time he's been on the road. The first time when he went to Moscow, 40 seconds he picked up the IBF belt. Then he followed in April, Ricky Barnes in Glasgow, where we made him the new king of Scotland, Sonny. Now he's going to the Pinnacle Bank Arena in Lincoln, Nebraska. He can do it. He can tune out the fans and do his thing. And moreover, he's a rangy southpaw that will stand and fight. So it will be a very good fight. But don't forget, Terrence Crawford is one of the best pound-for-pound fighters on the planet today, Sonny. So homeboy from Africa is in for a very tough and rough fight.
This tough and rough fight, Namdi, also will be broadcast on ESPN. Are we going to see more fights outside the pay-per-view venue?
Well, you know, pay-per-view killed boxing, Sonny. Because all those fights that were meant for regular TV went on pay-per-view, and the fans walked away. Say, who is a world champion? The man on the street knows nobody, but the guy has two or three belts, and it's a worthless belt because he was fighting on pay-per-view. Now we got this deal with Bob Arum and Top Rank and ESPN bringing all these quality marquee fighters on a Saturday night. You can't go wrong. Look at the numbers for Jeff Horn and Manny Pacquiao, 4.4 million. For Ndongo and Crawford, you may not get that 4.4, maybe get 2 million, which is still a big deal.
This fight between Ndongo and Crawford will be fought at 140 pounds, junior welterweight. Do you see them staying at that weight after the bout, Namdi? I've heard reports that Crawford might move up in weight.
This is the last fight for Crawford at 140. He wants to take on Manny Pacquiao at 147, but Manny Pacquiao wants nothing to do with Terrence Crawford. Terrence Crawford is one of the top welterweights we're going to look for after this fight because he's been trying to make weight and stand at 140, but the money, you know, Sonny, the money is in the 147 division with all the superstars. Your Keith Thurman, Kell Brook, Danny Garcia, Andre Bruno, and all these folks there. When you fight any of these guys, you are in the million-dollar league.
Ndongo, a little older than Crawford at 34, Namdi, would he move up to the welterweight class?
He will have to move up to the welterweight class, win or lose, because that's where the money is. He must go in there at 147 and take on one of his elite fighters. It all depends on what happens August 19 in Lincoln, Nebraska. If he beats Crawford or gives Crawford a great fight, then he can move up to 147.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta. And we'll hear more hard-hitting boxing commentary from Namdi during Friday's Sunny Side of Sports. Now let's go to London, where it's the fourth day of competition at the prestigious Wimbledon Tennis Tournament. Three-time Wimbledon champion Novak Djokovic moved into the third round Thursday with a straight sets victory over Czech opponent Adam Pavlasic. The final score from Wimbledon, 6-2, 6-2, and 6-1. Highlighting a couple of Wednesday's matches, defending champion Andy Murray of Britain advanced easily to the third round, but it was the end of the road for two-time Wimbledon champ Petra Kvitova. She was making a comeback after she was attacked by a knife-wielding intruder last year. First, Andy Murray. He eliminated Germany's Dustin Brown in straight sets, and afterwards, Andy had this to say.
You know, and I believe that I can have a good run here. You know, not, you know, I can win for sure. It's going to be extremely difficult, but you know, it's possible, and that's obviously, you know, exciting for any tennis fans in the country to have players going deep at slams.
Meanwhile, Czech tennis player Petra Kvitova's Wimbledon comeback ended in the second round, where she lost in three sets to American Madison Brengel. Kvitova sounded almost relieved that she lost.
I'm glad it's over, actually. I mean, it was really tough, and I just feel very empty right now. I know my body, it's not great, but like mentally, I'm really glad that it's over. I mean, it was kind of fairy tale, but on the other hand, it was very tough. And I just need to, you know, look forward and look to the future, how everything will be focusing on the next tournaments. I know I can play on the all surfaces, so this is very nice.
Czech tennis player Petra Kvitova speaking at Wimbledon after her second-round loss. The 27-year-old Kvitova made an emotional return to Wimbledon this week after a knife attack last year at her home in the Czech Republic. She won the ladies' singles title at Wimbledon in 2011 and 2014. And let's give this quick Wimbledon history note. On July 6, 1957, Althea Gibson defeated American countrywoman Darlene Hard 6-3 and 6-2 to become the first black player ever to win a title at Wimbledon. Althea Gibson is credited with laying the groundwork for the Williams sisters and other black players in tennis. Just ahead on the Sunny Side of Sports, VOA's Doug Bernard will join us for a look at some of the sporty social media trends.
Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com. VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOASunnySports. Joining us now for a look at sports social media trends is my VOA colleague, Doug Bernard. Happy Thursday, Doug.
Hey, happy Thursday, Sonny.
Welcome back, Doug. What's trending in the sports world?
You know, there's actually a lot going on today. Of course, you were just talking about, pardon me, Wimbledon. Of course, lots of people talking on social media about that. Right now, as we speak, Karolina Pliskova is playing Rybakova, and a lot of people talking about Gael Monfils. He defeated England's Kyle Edmund in straight sets. A bit of a surprise, that one. Monfils's been around for a while, so people talking about that. Also, a lot of people talking about the NBA free agency. So this is the time. This just began this weekend on Saturday. And some of our listeners may not be familiar with, you know, this term free agency, either unrestricted or what. Essentially, what happens, this is the time of year when professional sports figures, right now basketball and hockey players, who aren't under contract with a particular team, essentially can kind of go out and sort of shop themselves around, see who might be interested in signing them. And it's just, it's very interesting, you know, there's many, many moving parts, I guess, in this. But lots of people talking on Twitter, you know, who's up, who's down. Here's a Brad Botkin who's saying it looks like the Rockets have been doing pretty well. Timberwolves, Oklahoma City, Boston have upgraded the most. People giving thumbs down to the Thunder. Here's James Herbert giving thumbs down to the Thunder, saying that all the trade committees are making trades that make no sense at all. Of course, a lot of opinion here, but lots of people on social media talking about this kind of interesting period of change for NBA players.
Doug, still with the NBA, I know you've been following the ice hockey quite closely over the years, but the salaries for these NBA players, just astronomical almost in terms of the way they've risen in recent years. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, it's so true, Sonny. And, you know, that struck me as well. I mean, we're used to maybe some baseball players getting these kind of, you know, extraordinary contracts with, you know, for tens or more of millions of dollars. But, you know, at play here, some of these players are, you know, getting themselves $25, $30, $35 million contracts, which is just it is a mind-boggling amount of money. I don't know how that happened. And I do know that of all the sports, actually football, the NFL very often has the lowest average pay, in part because there are so many players on a team. But in part also because of just the way that NFL is structured and the way that the owners have really almost kind of complete control over that. So, but no, Sonny, you're exactly right. People, you know, real quickly, I think one of the interesting debates are players who are looking to get as much money as they can, but also players who want to go with a winning team. And sometimes they take less money, but they're thinking, well, I've got a better chance of getting a championship with this team than I do with that team. So lots of decision-making going on.
Doug, quickly, we have about 30 seconds left in the program. Anything else trending?
Well, very quickly, the Washington Post had a fascinating story about dog racing, greyhound racing, in the United States. It's illegal in many states. And while I won't say a lot of people on social media are talking about this, there's a very, very, very active community of retired greyhound owners, and they are tweeting up a storm and sharing this and posting it on Facebook, and lots of kind of outrage about the inhumane treatment of these greyhound racers very often in Florida.
VOA's Doug Bernard. Thank you, Doug.
You bet.
And that wraps up the July 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Zubair. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. United Nations peacekeepers play a critical role in providing stability in regions recovering from conflict. They can prevent outbreaks of violence and stabilize weak or failed governments, which can serve as havens for terrorists or transnational criminal organizations that foster conditions for mass atrocities. Peacekeeping missions are a critical tool for promoting peace and reconciliation in some of the world's most troubled countries, wrote Major General Michael Rothstein, Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Plans, Programs, and Operations in the Bureau of Political Military Affairs. Today, more than 113,000 UN personnel from 124 countries serve in peacekeeping roles in 16 missions around the world, in Africa, the Middle East, the Caribbean, and Europe. The diverse, robust, and demanding mandates of each of these missions see peacekeepers working to contain violent groups, protect civilians, bolster stability, and promote health and well-being. One of the important ways the United States government supports UN peacekeeping is through the Global Peace Operations Initiative, a security assistance program coordinated by State Department's Bureau of Political Military Affairs. The initiative strengthens international peacekeeping capacity by helping to train and equip peacekeepers to carry out the work that is required of them. To maximize effectiveness, program managers need to understand peacekeeping requirements and shortfalls. That is why representatives from key U.S. government organizations and the United Nations met for 5 days in mid-June at the 11th Global Peace Operations Initiative Worldwide Consultations, sponsored by the State Department's Bureau of Political Military Affairs and the Defense Department's Office of the Secretary of Defense. Participants discussed the evolving nature of peacekeeping, ways to strengthen performance and operational readiness of peacekeeping units, and efforts to address sexual exploitation and abuse by peacekeepers. United Nations peacekeepers play an indispensable role in advancing the cause of peace and security in a world ever more burdened by violence and instability, wrote Deputy Assistant Secretary Rothstein. This is a difficult task, and the United States is committed to working with like-minded countries to continue to push for both greater effectiveness and fiscal efficiency in this important mission. As a leading source of financial, technical, and material support for building peacekeeping capacity, the United States demonstrates its ongoing commitment to effective UN peace operations.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA News.
When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.